Let's all say amen.
Amen.
And thank for those that made time in their schedules to be back here tonight. And I'll do as Brother Brooks, we had talked about making the evening service one in which is, I kind of laughed when Brother Smith said, the preacher of the hour. And I think we were just kidding back there in the back when someone said, preach less than an hour. Yeah. So what we're going to do, we're going to stay with that statement, and we're going to have you out of here within an hour. Is that all right?
All right.
Yeah, I know it sometimes, even with the preachers, you know, you come back in the evening service, and you done fought the heat to get back here, and I don't know if we're going to preach a sermonette, but a short sermon would do well. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I mean, preacher, we're the same, too. We're human, too. So we're just going to look at a couple of things that Brother Brooks have been working from Psalms. And the psalm, some people use chapter, but it's more called divisions, 150 divisions. So we'll look at the first one, a couple of verses, and we'll get glean some spiritual strength from what David wrote in his psalms about the blessings of man, and then the message will be yours. And I think I have those. You find it's funny about how people encourage you when you're preaching not to preach long. Yeah. Adam Smith did it this afternoon. I call your name out. And Pete told me this morning, Brother Stroud, you know, make one short this morning. I said, okay, Pete. Yeah. But you take it all in jest. Amen?
Amen.
So we're going to look at God's word still because it's always important that, and I think you'll find the first psalm, we're only going to do the first three verses we'll look at, but David says something about the mindset of a man and how the man is blessed when one desires God's word and how one walks in the word. So give me verse number one first, Brother Oz. What does the Bible say?
Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly,
mm-hmm.
nor standeth in the way of sinners.
Yes.
Nor sit it in the seat of the scornful.
Okay, so now David begins this by saying, blessed is a man. And he gives 3 points about how one becomes blessed. He said, first of all, a man can be blessed when I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And that means basically when I'm a child of God, and I'm allowing people that are not children of God, I'm listening to them, and then I'm walking in what they tell me to do. You know, and I think even in the Lord's church, we ought to develop a confidence that there ought to be somebody in the Lord's body that if I have an issue or challenge, I can go to them. Amen. We ought to have our senior brothers that we can go to in the Lord's body, if I need counseling from someone, they ought to be, and I think it's set up that way where if they're a yam, you can go to a ma'am to get some advice, and then the ma'am can go to the Sam. Why? Because that person has gone through that before you. Mm-hmm. Amen. So when you have young parents, mothers trying to manage kids, then you got ma'am who just raised kids. Who can better give you advice than someone that done went through what you're going through?
Amen.
Amen. And so again, what the point I'm making is that let us be careful that we don't go, and he said, walketh, meaning I'm listening to the suggestions and the opinions of those that are telling me something. Those people don't walk with God. You know, and oftentimes when you get advice from, and I said oftentimes, not all the time, oftentimes when you get advice from people that are ungodly, it's a selfish advice. Girl, I won't take that from no man. You ain't got no man. I know why you ain't taking nothing, because you ain't got one. Yeah, ain't no man going to tell you what to do. Yeah, because you ain't got nobody. Yeah, yeah, I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? I ain't going to get on nobody's name, but it's funny how people that ain't have what you have want to advise you on what you got. Yeah. But the Lord says through David also said that nor standeth in the way of those that are sinning. We got to be mindful that we're not standing in the way of those that are sinning. And I know I've learned myself is that there's a certain time period for those that are Christians. When it gets a certain time, we need to be out of the way. Amen. I mean, there's a time period, and I know that now not only are you having things, people committing robberies and sins in the nighttime, they're doing it in the daytime. Mm-hmm. You know, and what David says to us is that let's make sure we're not in the way of those that are sinning. Then he says, nor sit it in the seat of the scornful. And the scornful is those that criticize or show a lack of respect for someone. So what he's saying to all of us, hopefully none of us are sitting in that seat where we're sitting around and we're just criticizing people or we're showing disrespect to people. That ought not to be a mind of a Christian. Amen. You know, we ought to be ones that offer encouragement to one another and lift up other people's spirit as opposed to someone that's criticizing and putting someone down. David said, let us not be the one that sit in that seat where those people that sit there and they're criticizing you. David, I won't go to it now. And if you go back to 1 Samuel about verse chapter 30, you'll find that when David had come back from being out and their children and their wives were taken captive, he received criticism to the point that they wanted to kill him. Yeah, they wanted to get, go to 1 Samuel 30. I can share that with you because this is criticism, harsh criticism. And if you're not careful, sometimes criticism can break a person, can break a person. 1 Samuel 30, Brother Oles. I won't be before you. I'm going to be down before 4:30. You won't see 4:30 come in. Yeah. 1 Samuel chapter 30. Will you please read?
One?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. Yeah, verse 1.
And it came to pass,
yeah,
when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south in Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire.
Read.
And had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but they carried them away and went on their way.
Read.
So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captive.
Read.
Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Hanam,
that's good,
the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite.
So before you say verse 6, let me show you. And this is why when David write his writings, David is writing from experience. So what you have in this case here is that David and his men had gone out to war. And they came back, and what happened was the Amalekite had swept through Ziklag. And what they did, they took the women and the children captive. And the Bible says they carried them away. And then when David came back with his men, they found that the city had been burned down, the wives and their children were taken captive. And the Bible says that David, along with the other men, they cried, they lifted up their voice, they weep. The Bible says they cried so much that they didn't have no more power in them to cry. And the Bible says that David's two wives were taken captive. But then the verse number 6 may be where David had got this thought for. Read verse number 6.
And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters.
Yeah.
But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God.
And I'm saying to all of us, David may have been saying, remember now, I go out to war with you guys, I come back, and now you blaming me for what done happened. And you'll find sometimes, even as Christians, we'll blame other people for something that we didn't have nothing to do with. Yeah, and so they wanted to blame David for the fact that the children and the wives were taken captive. And the Bible said, notice, David himself was distressed. The Bible said what? For the people spake of stoning him because the souls of all the people were grieved. They start criticizing him. Well, you were the one. You shouldn't have did this here. And sometimes, let me just say this to all of us, sometimes we have to encourage ourselves. Sometimes you won't get, I'm talking about even in a household, sometimes I may not get the encouragement that I may want and need from my wife, from my daughter, my children. And sometimes we have to be a David. You have to encourage yourself.
Amen.
Yeah, sometimes you have to lift your own spirits up, because sometimes others won't do that. And so I just wanted to know what David had talked about. Don't you be that person. Don't you be that person when something goes bad, you begin to criticize and talk about a person, not knowing the facts of the matter, you are just criticizing. And David said, don't you be in that seat. And I'm saying for us at Highland Heights, let us not sit in seats of criticism. Amen. Let us be one that is ones that David said are blessed. Why? Because I'm not listening to the counsel of the ungodly. I'm not standing in the way of sinners. He said, but also I don't take my seat in the seat of criticism, just sitting around talking about things, folks, and people. That's not me. And he says, verse number 2.
But his delight is in the law of the Lord.
Yeah.
And in his law doth he meditate day and night.
And so what David is saying also, and I hope this is for all of us, the word delight means a feeling of happiness, pleasure, enjoyment, satisfaction. I hope for all of us that when we need happiness, when we need joy, when we need pleasure, we can find it in the law of the Lord. Because David said here, he said, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he said, not only that, notice what he said. David said, I meditate on that day and night. Go to Romans chapter 7. Because Paul said something about delight. Romans chapter 7. Brother Olson, if you begin at verse, I know you got that electronic Bible. I got the old school Bible, so I can't get there fast as you. But verse number 22, yeah, 7:22. Watch what Paul says to the Romans in Romans 7:22. He says, "For I delight
in the law of God after the inward man."
Read.
"But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members."
Now, David said, understand this here. David said, my delight is in the law of God that's after the inward man. In other words, the law of God is that law of our mind. But Paul said this. He said, now I see another law, and this law is in my members. He's talking about in my body. Mm-hmm. And this law, Paul said that this law that's in my members, it fights against the law in my mind. He said, and what happens is the law in my members will bring me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. See, we have to understand the thing that will stop a person from sinning is the law of God. We have to let the law of the Lord be in my mind. And David wrote it, but I'm talking about Paul now. I think this morning brother brought to my attention, I said Job, when I should have said Satan, but I meant that Satan was talking to the Lord and not Job talking to the Lord, and I appreciate the correction on that point. But I'm correcting myself now. I'm talking about Paul saying that we got two laws in our mind. We got the law in my members. That's the one that's in my flesh. Mm-hmm. And it's not talking about your flesh, but it's also talking about all of us have a carnal side of us, or have a fleshly side of us that want to do worldly stuff and do things that are contrary to the will of God.
Amen.
And what Paul said is that I got this war going on. And understand this here, whichever one you feed the most is the one that's going to win.
Amen.
If you are like Paul, when you are one that you get delight, notice what he said, I delight myself. He says, "For I delight in the law of God." So he gets a delight in my inward man. It makes me feel good when I can sit down and study the Word of God, and the Word of God can bring you peace.
Amen.
Yeah, God's Word can do that. And I'm saying to all of us, you want some pleasure, you want some joy, sit down with the Word of God, and sometimes just read the Word of God. We talked about even to some of our members that don't, you have now, they have, you, those that we got, all, most of us got cell phone. You go on and you have the Bible on internet, or have an application where you can just listen to the Word of God. You know, sometimes just listening to the law of God ought to bring delight unto you. Amen?
Amen.
And so he says, and then he says, O wretched man that I am,
who shall deliver me from the body of this death?
He said, I thank God.
Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Yeah.
So then with the mind, I may serve the law of God.
Now notice he said, so with the mind. Remember, you got to have the Word of God in your mind. He said, now, when that is in my mind, I can serve the law of God. But then there's another part of me, but with the what?
The flesh.
Yeah.
The law of sin.
Yeah. And so when I ask myself, why am I keep sinning? Because I don't have the law of God. If I had the law of God in my mind, the law of God is always our protection from doing sin. When the Holy Spirit can work through the Word of God, and it can stop me from doing those things that I would normally do. And if I keep allowing those things to repeat itself, then I need to find out specifically how God tells me how I can work on this. But again, we're talking about David having delight, and also Paul saying, he have delight in the law of God. And what are you saying, Brother Stroud? I'm saying to all of us, get from 2 Timothy 2:15. And what he's talking about when he said meditating on day and night, basically what he's talking about in that text, what he's talking about is, read 2 Timothy 2:15.
Study to show thyself approved unto God.
Yeah.
A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
So that word meditate and the word study work along with each other. What Paul was telling them when he wrote his letter, his second letter to the preacher Timothy, he was saying, now, you have to study. In other words, I have to give attention. I have to give care. I have to give effort to the Word of God. You know, and I want to encourage all of us. I say this as oftentimes I preach it, that we ought to make time every day in our schedule to study the Word of God.
Amen.
And the best time to study is when your feet hit the floor. Yeah, when you get up in the morning, make time in your schedule to find something to study the Word of God, and then get your day started. You'll be amazed how smooth your day start off. In the morning, when you start off with the Word of God. I know myself, I get up in the morning, one of the first things I do is I get my cell phone, I go to my King James Bible, and I find some scripture that I can study that morning. Mm. Yeah. And I'm just encouraging all of us, you got to find delight in the law of God, in the Word of God, because it can bless us. Amen?
Amen.
And then our final point, go back to Psalms, the first division, and then verse number 3. Adam, are you keeping time? That's okay. Verse number 3. Yeah.
And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water,
mm-hmm.
that bringeth forth his fruit in his season.
Yeah.
His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper.
Now, David here, as he closed, uses the blessed man as a metaphor. He's talking about that man being like a tree. He says, like a tree that's planted by rivers of water. And he said, now notice what the tree is able to do. And that's you, what you're able to do. He says, bring it forth fruit in his season. Not only that, he says, this tree, because it's by rivers of water, its leaf also shall not wither. And notice what he says here, and whatsoever he doeth, the Bible says that man shall prosper. Mm-hmm. Well, then go to, as I close, in Jeremiah 17, God speaking through Jeremiah says basically David, it looked like he may have gotten this from Jeremiah from David. I'm not sure which came first, the writing of Psalms or the book of Jeremiah, because oftentimes, even though books are put in the Bible, that may not be how they were chronologically written. Sometimes we think that because the Bible are in certain order, that's not so much the case in all cases, that they are put together in the order in which they was written. But we do know the Jeremiah 17, Brother Owens, in verse number 8. What does he say?
For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters.
No, start at verse 7, because he's saying the same thing. Blessed is the man.
Blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is.
So now, notice what Jeremiah starts it off with, God speaking through Jeremiah. God says through Jeremiah, the man that is blessed is the one that trusts in the Lord. He's also a person whose hope is in the Lord. You know, so we have to be one that trusts in the Lord, and my hope is in the Lord. Then he says, for he shall be
as a tree planted by the waters.
Yeah.
And that spreadeth out her roots by the river.
Uh-huh.
And shall not see when heat cometh.
Yeah.
But her leaf shall be green.
Yeah.
And shall not be careful in the year of drought.
Yeah.
Neither shall cease from yielding fruit.
Now notice what he says here. Now, God, speaking through Jeremiah, gives another view of it. He says, now, he shall be as a tree planted by waters. And you know that all trees need water. All trees need water. He says, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river. And I don't know, I come from Florida, and oftentimes we used to go down to the pond, and we used to swim by the pond. You know, you go back then, Brother Curry, we went down there, and back then, I'm just telling how we did back then. We would have a pair of short pants, and all of us would leave pants by the water. And we would go, and we would come down there to swim, and we would change clothes. Yeah, we would change, put on basically swimming trunks. Back then, you had no swimming trunks. Back then, you had a pair of cut-off jeans. Yeah, that's what we had back then. We had jeans, and you would go down there, and you would have everybody have their stuff stashed. So you get down there, and I think back then we ain't probably even wear no T-shirts back then. No. You know, you just went down there. You probably had on, you may have had on tennis shoes, you may not, and you had on some pants. No. Yeah. And so we would go down there and see, the reason you change clothes when you go home, you can't go home wet.
Yeah.
See, that'll catch up with you tomorrow sometime. But we would go down there, and we would swim by the river. And in the ponds, and what you will find, the strongest trees were the trees that was planted by the water. Those trees, why? Because they constantly had water flowing in them. And you find that as the Lord said, the roots of that tree was strong. And sometimes even though that tree leaned a little bit, that tree was strong and it was going to be there.
Yeah.
And so God is saying to us, through when you trust in the Lord, when your hope is in the Lord, you'll be a person that's like a tree that planted by the waters. And he said, when you spread it out, the roots, you can see the roots in the water. And he says, and shall not see when the heat cometh. No, notice he's saying, what he's saying is that oftentimes, and I notice I work in my yard, when there are certain spots in my yard, when the sun come up, and if you don't water that area, it'll burn it quickly. You know, the sun can do damage to your grass, can do damage to things. Why? Because that heat just hits down on there.
Right.
But what the Lord is saying, you are that person, when you trust in me and when your hope is in me, you are like a tree that's not only by the rivers of the water, but the branches have spread it out and they cover the root. So even if the sun comes and the heat come down, it can't get to the root. Why? Because the leaves cover the tree.
Amen.
Yeah, the leaves cover the tree. He said, now notice what he said, but her leaf shall be green and shall not be careful in the year of drought. In other words, when the year of drought comes, you know, we have to understand that the roots, the purpose of roots is that we get nourishment from the roots. And the roots, let me just show you that. Go to Isaiah 53. Is Isaiah 53? Isaiah 53. Let me show you the comparison here. There's some good teaching anyhow.
Amen.
And show you about what roots mean. In Isaiah 53, Brother Owes, in verse number 1, talking about Jesus, Isaiah talking in Isaiah 53. What do you say?
Who hath believed our report?
Yeah.
And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
Mm-hmm.
For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant.
Read.
And as a root out of a dry ground.
Yeah.
He had no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him.
Yeah. Now, notice what he's saying. I want to just understand what he's meaning in the text. What he's saying to us is Jesus, he says, he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. Now, watch what he's done. Watch the metaphor here. He says, as a root out of a dry ground. The reason for roots that you need roots because roots draw moisture to the tree. Mm-hmm. And what he's saying is Jesus is like that root in a dry ground. Mm-hmm. When we don't have no nourishment, to feed ourselves, that root grabs nourishment out of the ground and feeds the tree.
Amen.
So that's what Jesus is for all of us. Jesus is that root in that dry ground. Jesus will nourish any of us if we go to Jesus.
Amen.
That's the point of the message.
Amen.
And so he says that it's a root out of a dry ground. I just want to show us the application. Oftentimes in the Word of God, God's Word uses metaphor. And if you understand about a root in a tree, you know the nourishment of that tree. You know if you cut the roots, that tree gonna die. And Jesus is that root for us.
Amen.
Jesus is the root. And our responsibility is simply to allow Jesus to nourish us through the Word of God. And we'll be as healthy as Jeremiah said. And Jeremiah said that when the year of drought comes, that tree is going to be fine. The roots are going to be planted. And the leaves are going to stay green. He said, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. So he said, even when it's a year, or even making that a metaphor, even when there's a time when everything is drying up, God is saying, I'll still take care of you.
Amen.
Yeah, because we are that tree, that trust in the Lord. We are that tree, that hope in the Lord. And so what the Lord says as I close is that no matter what's going on, you are like that tree that is planted by the rivers of water. Understand this, the sun won't burn the roots. The roots are going to be there. The roots are going to nourish the tree, and God is going to take care of you. Why? Because I have delight in the law of God. Mm-hmm. And so if there's someone today that's not a Christian, you want to be blessed by God, all spiritual blessings, Ephesians 1:3. I think we were saying this to someone the other day, that we make sure that we understand that according to Ephesians 1:3, that all spiritual blessings are in Christ Jesus. One person want to be blessed spiritually, you got to get in Christ. Amen. And so if you are here today and you're not in Christ, how do I become a Christian? How do I become in Christ? You need to know the gospel story, that message of the fact that God loved you enough, John 3:16, that Jesus, we talked about this morning, he was our defense attorney, but he also was the one that served the sentence that God put on man for sinning. He died the death for all of us. And so what I must do, I must believe that Jesus Christ came down and died for me. That's called the gospel. I need to repent of my sins. I then confess what I now believe in my heart, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Then I'm water baptized for the forgiveness of all my past sins. And then the Lord will add me to the only church in the Bible, the Church of Christ, Romans 16:16. There's someone today that would like to respond to the gospel message. We bid you to come, and together we stand and sing a verse of a hymn. Thank you very much.